Jesus gives us pretty clear command today. He says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. With these words, Jesus ends his final moments with his friends, the disciples, before the week to come begins, right? So Holy Week, or his last week on earth. This is the last thing he chooses to say to them in private, just, you know, guys sitting there talking. It's the last thing he chooses to say to them. It's the last sermon he gave before Holy Week. And the next steps were to have the Last Supper, to be betrayed, to be tortured, and to be killed for the sins of the whole world. Yet, the last things that Jesus says to his disciples is a command. Do this. Right? He says, stay awake at all times, praying. Now, monks, especially in the East, they took these words very literally. And on top of extreme fasts and physical self-discipline, Eastern monks, but also Western ones, but not so much so anymore, have taken this word, which means in Latin, vigil, or stay awake, and heard it as a command from Jesus to stay up physically all night and pray. Besides taking decades off of your average monk's lifespan, including Martin Luther's, staying up all night is simply a misinterpretation that has deadly spiritual consequences and can lead people to think that there is anything that they can do to earn their way towards salvation on some sort of divine ladder that they climb up. The best way to interpret Scripture is to let it speak for itself and to look elsewhere in Scripture to interpret Scripture that is hard for us to understand. While it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to pick one verse or a fraction of a verse and to repeat it over and over again like a mantra, that's one way to read and meditate on Scripture. If that is all that we do, it can become dangerous. And so we try to also complement that with reading the Bible in a longer stretch. The goal, or what have you, is to find the context of those verses that you like. And so let's return to what surrounds Jesus' words. He says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And then the next verse, after our reading for today ends, is this. And every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. So did you catch that? What did Jesus immediately go and do after he commanded the disciples to stay awake at all times praying? What did he go and do? He left Jerusalem and he went to bed. It should make you laugh. It's okay. All right? So you have a choice between Jesus is telling us to do something, but he's not doing it himself. Or the other choice is maybe Jesus didn't mean forgo sleep to pray all the time. I pray you find the answer is obvious as you recall to mind Psalm 127. He gives to his beloved sleep. Though maybe when you're lying there restless and unable to sleep, maybe your first choice should before counting sheep be to pray? Have you ever tried that? So let's summarize what's going on in our text today. Jesus says that right before he returns to judge, there's going to be signs in the sky. They're going to be scary. There's going to be governmental distress due to oceanic weather events. And the very heavens are going to shake. And swaths of people are going to be fainting in fear and anxiety due to what's happening in the world. Yeah, we have no idea when it's going to happen, but boy, as Christians, when we see all these things happening, I don't know if you see them happening, but if you do, Jesus tells us, Christians, have your shoulders back, have your chest out, have your back straight, have your head up. All that this means is that Jesus Christ, your redemption, your Savior, he's drawing near. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud. Yes, we have no idea when it will happen, but Jesus tells us to keep watch for signs that it's going to begin to happen. Like when you see buds coming in on a fruit tree in your backyard. I don't know if you have one of these. I know I grew up with a pear tree. And when you start to see the buds coming, you know the pears are going to come. And then that means, right, you're going to have to go pick up all the pears as they start to rot. And the bees come and the fruit flies, right? Or if you want to be optimistic, when you see the buds coming, you say, huh, the pears are coming, the apples are coming, etc. Is there a new recipe I want to try this year and share? Well, Jesus is telling us and using this as an example to teach, to say that we should be doing the same thing for the coming end. And so I repeat myself from just a few weeks ago, from the end of the church year, by asking this question. What do you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? What do you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? What do you want to be thinking about? What do you want to be saying to someone else? What do you want to be doing when Jesus returns? As a Christian, you have the golden opportunity to each night go to bed in full expectation to serve Jesus and your neighbor tomorrow, but also go to bed every night in joyful expectation and hope that when you wake up, instead you will rise to eternal glory and all things will have come to an end. For the Christian must fully live and believe that either could and can happen each and every day. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares for this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all who dwell on the face of the earth. It's dark winter. Non-Christians call this holiday season, and every commercial and all of your friends, if they were to hear that you're feeling blue or you're feeling down, they would probably tell you to take it easy on yourself. Eat some more treats. Eat that junk food that you wouldn't eat when it's beach season. Have a drink. Everyone else is doing it. Yet for some reason, Jesus Christ tells us, watch yourself. Watch yourself lest your heart be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and care for this life. And by the way, I looked up dissipation. And in Greek, it's just a unique Greek word. Of course they have it. And it means that headache when you realize that you've drunk too much red wine. And you get that headache. And so life is getting more busy this time of year. Life is getting darker. and the pressure is on. The world and its events, yes, they are getting worse. Our relationships are getting more distant. And so Jesus's remedy is this. You individually, wake up. Jesus says, wake up and stay awake. He says you have two ways to choose from, the Christian way or the pagan way, the hard way or the easy way, ultimate fulfillment in me, Jesus Christ, or chasing the dragon of the pleasures of this world. Wake up. Sometimes I feel like I find myself saying things like, life is going by too fast. I'm too busy to do such and such. There's nothing I can do to help myself. But the thing is, the more that any of us removes agency or control of our own actions, the more that our lives will turn into what we call autopilot mode, right? As you begin to have your actions take away from you and see yourselves as not being able to control your day-to-day life. And so, what if you challenged yourself this holiday season, this Advent? What if you challenged yourself to stay awake at all times praying? Meaning, like, you go home for lunch today, and before you eat, you pray as a family or by yourself. And then you do it again at dinner. And then before you go to bed, you pray together. What if your last thoughts as you drifted off to go to sleep were about today's service or the music you heard or the face of Jesus Christ? And what if you wrote on a piece of paper and put by your wallet on your entry table a little note that said, hey, try and think about Jesus today. And you carried it in your hand. And every time you looked down at your hand, you were reminded to think of Jesus, to take back your attention and control away from the ways of the world and to give them back, making every thought captive to Jesus Christ. To stay awake at all times praying is to have certainty, to have confidence that at all times and in all places, even while you're at work, even while you're in your bed, even while you're on your walk, it's going to be okay because Jesus Christ died and rose for you, and he's coming back soon to redeem you. It's knowing that all of this, all of Christ's life and death and resurrection, his words, they're for you. And even if the world is going down the drain, even though there are signs in the sky and they come and go, and they usually never turn people to repentance, even though the weather and the governments seem messed up, just like Jesus said, even when work or school or retirement is not as fulfilling as you thought it would be, even when you didn't make the position on the team that you wanted, you can hear Christ speak to you, you personally, and to you as a family. And he says this, all of that's going to pass away. All of that's going to be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You can have those forever. And so, do you get it yet? Do you get it? Jesus is saying that the more that your life, your daily life, the more that it is built around his words, the more fulfilling it will be. The more stable it will be, the less it will feel like autopilot, because his mercies are new every morning. His words, even if you've read them 100 times before. And I don't think anyone here, including myself, has read the same words 100 times over. The more you get into touch with his words, the more meaning you will be tapped into each and every day. And his promise is that the more you do this, the more your family will be brought together, the more you'll be able to talk to one another, the less you'll want to be on your own in other rooms looking at different things, because you'll want to be united around his words. And this will look like less regret, less grief. Jesus promises. And so Paul writes in our Romans reading today, by the Spirit, what earns Advent 2 this Sunday as Bible Sunday is this: whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Jesus can and will redeem every moment that you invite him into. So stay awake and watch, lest your hearts be weighed down with cares for this world. Amen.